Chapter 2. The World of Space. Unit 4. Tipping the Scales, Changing Ideas of Space.
Humans have been fascinated by the night skies since time began. At some point, ancient people noticed that certain stars moved in an unusual path across the heavens. Most stars rose in the east and slowly crept across a steady and straight course that sets finally in the west. However, people noticed several other stars in existence that did not conform to this pattern. Because they had a tendency to wander back and then forward again along their paths, the ancient Greeks called them Asteroplanetariae, which means wandering stars. These are known today simply as planets. The ancients believed these planets held a special status, distinct from other stars. It was even suggested that the planets were moving in a circular pattern, better known as an orbit. However, conventional wisdom maintained that the Earth was stationary, since one could not feel it move. Therefore, the pervasive paradigm was the geocentric model, with the Earth motionless in the center of the entire universe and the planets orbiting around it. The Sun and the Moon were also defined as planets, since they appeared to orbit the Earth as well. The geocentric model was the dominant viewpoint until the 1600s. A less popular model featured the Sun placed in the center of the solar system. Known as heliocentrism, this model had enjoyed the support of scattered proponents and supporters from civilizations as diverse as ancient Greece, Babylon, India, and the Islamic world. Yet it was not until the early 16th century that Polish priest Nicolaus Copernicus succeeded in starting a serious revival of the heliocentric model. At that time, heliocentrism was met with ridicule and rejection, even from the revolutionaries of the day, such as Martin Luther. In spite of this, it would be a seed that bore great fruit for future generations. Young Johannes Kepler was a gifted mathematician, bent on taking a rigorous scientific approach to astronomy, which in his day was still bound up with astrology. He took heliocentrism as a starting point and attempted to calculate the movements of the known planets. His early work assigned a geometric shape to each planet's path. Then he generated a model where the course of each planet was determined by three-dimensional shapes of increasing complexity. For instance, there was a cube for Saturn, a pyramid for Jupiter, and more complex shapes for the inner planets. Kepler was extremely pleased with the beauty and elegance of the system, but he was never able to get the mathematics of the orbits to work correctly. Frustrated, he sought more precise data from a Danish colleague named Tycho Brahe. Brahe was extremely wealthy and owned the best observational instruments of his time. He also kept precise records of his planetary observations. Kepler briefly worked for Brahe, but unfortunately, their relationship was uneasy. Brahe believed in the geocentric model and also kept Kepler from reviewing most of the data. Kepler had to wait until Brahe's death to gain full access to the precious measurements. After he had access to Brahe's data, Kepler had the ability to analyze the various positions of Mars to calculate the shape of its orbit. He labored extensively to reconcile the data with a conventional circular orbit, and then made dozens of attempts at making an egg-shaped orbit work. Finally, in 1605, he decided to try an eclipse, which is now known to be right. In 1609, he published his classic text Astronomia Nova, The New Astronomy, in which he presented his three laws of planetary motion. The first and most significant of these stated that Mars has an elliptical orbit with the Sun at one of the foci. In a later work, he extended this principle to all of the planets. After his death in 1630, Kepler's tests became a touchstone of scientific research. His work continued to be widely read for many years. However, in many respects, his work failed to receive the full attention it truly deserved. The texts were largely ignored by astronomer and physicist Galileo Galilei and philosopher and mathematician René Descartes, two of the greatest thinkers of that time. As time passed, Kepler's predictions were verified by later observations. Eventually, Isaac Newton and Gottfried Leibniz constructed the mathematical framework today known as calculus to describe planetary motion. This finally tipped the scales once and for all in favor of a Keplerian view of the solar system.